whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Some developing Cowboys stories here for you as Zach Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day kicks off. Zachary?
Okay, it has begun when it comes to Mike McCarthy and possibly having offers somewhere else. As Todd Atcha and Adam Schefter of ESPN have reported, the Bears are seeking permission to interview Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy and are awaiting a response from Dallas. And if Jerry was being honest yesterday, I guess the response would be go for it. Go ahead. Interview. Why not? Now, maybe that ends up being bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out from the Cowboys' perspective. Jerry said, I don't want anybody here that doesn't want to be here. But yeah. If you're Mike and you're not getting an offer this afternoon when he meets with Jerry per Jane Slater, then why the hell not? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go and do that interview with Chicago and see if they want me.
Yeah, I think this is a negotiation for Jerry. You know, I do think part of this comes back to the fact that he doesn't believe that you got to have one coach, right? He thinks there's a lot of guys that can get the job done. I think that serves his ego well. So I would not be surprised. But also at the same time, I don't think Mike gets that Chicago job. I think Jerry's got to have a pretty strong feeling that if I, you know, let you go interview, then you're going to come back with even less options than maybe you think you have right now.
The one I think he might need to worry about is New Orleans. That's the one I think that Jerry... Now, what might happen, too, is Ben Johnson might price himself out of an opportunity with the Bears. You know, he might demand, significant salary. He might demand some things within the front office, you know, maybe having some people in there that he can trust. If all of a sudden he goes in there and makes a bunch of demands and the Bears are like, no, we're a family run business here. We're not doing this. Then I think this is where Mike sneaks in the back door on something like that. But I think it's smart for these teams to interview a lot of these candidates. And then, you know, if your candidate decides to do something else, your number one guy, well, then maybe you feel good about Mike McCarthy being the second guy or maybe even the third guy and getting that opportunity.
But I've heard it's difficult for people who are used to doing business one way or another to come do business the Cowboys way because they want you to have so much respect and reverence for the brand. They feel like this is the place to work. And if you don't recognize that, then you're just not one of us. You know, and it's a tough thing to negotiate through. They want you to take less. They want you to be more appreciative of other opportunities because of their association with the star. And, you know, it's a great way to do business, right? But if you're trying to find like the absolute best possible head coach, you need to know what that looks like and then be willing to spend the most. Not trying to leverage that guy to take less or to accept your other terms of employment. You know, because you feel like he wants to become part of your brand. That's just it's backwards thinking.
It
it's,
is.
It's where business, ethics or business strategies aren't going to get you closer to the prize in the world of sports.
Well, and it's the ultimate flaw. If you're going to hire a head coach because you believe in that guy, let that dude do the job. Right.
Yeah.
And Jane put out that she asked the player if McCarthy should return. And he had this to say, quote, I only think it's fair if he gets one more shot, but more on his terms from the standpoint of really being able to run it how he wants. Whoever else you go with, there's going to be an unknown. But he did build something pretty good over the last 5 years with one hand behind his back because it's not easy being a head coach here. But it's worth it because it's the number one brand in sports.
Yeah, and Dak said something similar. You know, I imagine they're talking about the Zeke situation. And this, you know, it's I think the job that he did keeping guys motivated and competitive throughout the season, while all of the players know you don't have the authority to really make decisions on your own, that's a tough thing to coach through. You know,
another layer is, and I know, Brian, you've been very outspoken when we've done the postgame shows because you're right. Like the coaching staff and the head coach have the ability when it comes to say and personnel. I don't think if Mike stays, he should have a say in personnel. didn't have that in Green Bay. I don't think all of a sudden overnight you develop a gene of like, oh my gosh, I now can evaluate personnel. If it's not something he was doing and he won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, I wouldn't overly voice your opinion in that regard. And maybe that's why you've seen some of these picks not hit, because Mike is kind of fighting for some guys that maybe the scouting department doesn't quite see the same way, but Mike sees this or that and doesn't necessarily align with the view of the scouting department and Will McClay.
Yeah, I don't think that'll change. It's funny. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying there. I just don't think the Joneses will allow that. I think the Joneses do value the opinion of their head coach. I think the Joneses want to be as working with their head coach. Like I say, there's certain coaches that take advantage of that. Bill Parcells took advantage of that. Dave Campo really wasn't totally interested in it. Wade Phillips, not totally interested. Jason Garrett, very interested in it.
Jason was.
So, yeah, that part of it I don't think is ever going to change. They're going to continue to operate with the voice of the general manager, the head coach, of having a say in what their personnel looks like.
The Saints have requested an interview Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore for their vacant head coaching position. That's going to be the first interview for Kellen Moore this cycle. And I do think that he would probably be on the Cowboys list, just personally knowing the connection there, knowing how much, you know, Jerry and Steven really think highly of Kellen Moore. And I think there's others from the organization that probably do as well. So there's Kellen getting one visit with the Saints on the list of maybe some other teams call him as well moving forward. But this is crazy what's going on with the coaching stuff. Giants staff seems to be safe. So Brian Daboll's not going anywhere. Joe Schein's not going anywhere in New York. John Mara said today that he does not have much more patience. So he's going to need to see something go ahead and change. This is probably going to be like if they are not able to get things right this year, and they're picking third overall. Tennessee ended up getting the number one overall pick. That win for the Giants 2 weeks ago, they had the number one pick. They now fell to number three. So the Titans at number one, and the rumors already are they love Cam Ward, the wide receiver the quarterback out of Miami. So maybe Cam Ward early on would be the favorite to go number one to the Titans, but they'll pick at the top, and we'll see. Does Shedeur Sanders make it to the Giants at three? Do they end up getting a new quarterback to work with? But at least one more run for that GM and head coach combo there with the Giants. Then you've got Malik Nabers. Shout out to him. Single season record for catches for the Giants. He had 109. That took over from Steve Smith in 2009, who had 107 catches. Odell Beckham Jr., most he had was 101. So that was a heck of a hit there in the draft. Malik Nabers, we knew he was going to be an absolute stud.
Cowboys need a hit like that.
They do. And maybe at 12, there will be some receivers we can talk about there. There's no question about that. The interesting thing in the division, how about Jalen Hurts still in concussion protocol, according to Adam Schefter? So they're getting ready to take on Green Bay.
Yeah.
And you're still going to have to worry about, is my quarterback able to play on Sunday? That's quite the concussion. So it'll be, what, three games that he would have missed?
It'll be three games, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a lot. And now we've got the entire schedule has been listed. So we've got on Saturday the typical Houston Texans hosting.
We knew that
the
was going to happen.
Game,
right, that was a must.
3:30 on CBS. It'll be Chargers at Texans. The nightcap on Prime Video this year on Saturday night will be Steelers at the Ravens. Third matchup between those two as they split the regular season series. Then on Sunday at noon, it'll be Bo Nix, Sean Payton, and the Broncos heading to Buffalo to take on Josh Allen and the Bills. And nobody circles the wagons
like Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos,
like the Buffalo Bills. Green Bay and Filthy will be at 3:30, and Sunday Night Football on NBC will be the Commandos taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both of those, all of these actually in the NFC, are rematches of Week 1 games in the NFL season. So Monday night will be Vikings at the Rams. Rams beat the Vikings in that first matchup of the season. Of course, Chiefs and Lions got themselves the bye. Jags went ahead and bleep can Doug Peterson. But the big thing here was they're keeping Trent Baalke.
And my man has got to hire a lot of coaches.
He's
got to
have something on Shad Khan. There's something there, man.
I really thought that this was going to be, and you and I talked about it last night, with Ben Johnson going there and bringing somebody like a John Dorsey along with him from Detroit that could be the general manager, personnel boss.
Make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're able to really build the program how you want it there.
Well, there's a lot of people in Jacksonville will tell you that GM's the problem.
Oh, yeah. And it seemed like, I mean, Schefter and Jordan Schultz were out talking about this, and everybody they talked to were just in shock and disbelief.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is Jacksonville doing keeping Trent Baalke? That was a stunner. So we'll see what happens there. Maybe that hurts their chances of landing a guy like Ben Johnson, who's going to go and interview with the Bears. Multiple teams, and I saw this yesterday before the Cowboy game, are considering trading for Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. This was from Jay Glazer.
He's got 1 year left, right, on his deal?
1 year left. They haven't talked about an extension at all. Last time a coach was traded, you had Sean Payton traded technically from the Saints to the Broncos. They sent a first and a second round pick in return for Payton and a third rounder. Wow. Others you had that have been traded in the past 25 years include Herm Edwards, John Gruden, and Bill Belichick.
Gruden was traded for a lot.
He was traded for a lot, and that worked out. But, like, would you consider trading for O'Connell?
No. That's an embarrassment if you end up trading for a head coach. You're admitting we can't find a guy, you know. Maybe if it's Andy Reid, but not a guy who just made the playoffs. I mean, great. This has to be, like, O'Connell's agent putting that out there, right? This is O'Connell calling up Jay Glazer saying, boy, I got a whopper for you. Let's make Minnesota cough up some cash here, buddy.
I'd be interested.
I would be interested too, Gavin. And I know, I'm sorry, but I would be, man.
Charlton pick, that 27th pick.
Kevin O'Connell, he might be the next up-and-coming stud.
Last time the Cowboys have picked Smith that late, what have we got? Mozzie, Guyton. Yeah. I mean, Tyler Smith's the outlier. If you're late 20s, I'm not doing it for O'Connell, though. That's ridiculous.
You're not an O'Connell guy?
No.
I'm going to
no.
work on this with you. We're going to become O'Connell 14 guys
14-3, backup quarterback, Sam Darnold, dude.
Playoffs 2 out of 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, 2 years ago they made it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No, I don't know the selling point here. What are we getting? A playoff team?
Do Googles. Look at that neck, man.
Okay. He's got the aesthetic, sure.
He's got the aesthetic.
Might help a quarterback.
Hell of an offensive mind.
A quarterback that you don't like?
Yeah, might help the quarterback, yeah.
He definitely would help the quarterback. The guy's winning with Sam Darnold this year. Yeah, I'm splashing.
I mean, Chuck loves this dude. I do. You see his neck, man? It's just veins coming out. Just
check out this guy's
neck. This is a football guy, bro. Google it up real quick.
Tall.
Hit the images, man.
We're giving up a first-round pick for head coaches?
I'm thinking of two, but if you want to give up a one next year so I can keep my 12 this year just for funsies... Yeah, I'd be interested. I don't know. Do you think that the Cowboys can really hire coaches?
No, I don't.
So, like, they kind of fill into the category, right? Let's trade for a guy that we know is established and good. Just saying. Just playing devil's advocate here. Let's get to the Jets. Shout out to Aaron Rodgers. Threw his 500th touchdown. No. No, I like that. You stand your ground over there, Gavin. I like what you're doing.
What are we trying to do here?
Aaron Rodgers threw his 500th touchdown to Tyler Conklin in what I hope is his final game ever as a quarterback in the NFL. Just go ahead.
You don't think so, right?
I don't think he will be.
Absolutely not. No. He's not going to go out like that. It's Aaron Rodgers, bro.
I don't think he's going to do that either, but I hope that it is. Jets are basically trying to interview everybody. I mean, you name a coach, Jets are interviewing him. Matt Nagy of the Chiefs. You got Vance Joseph of the Broncos, Bobby Slowick, Joe Brady. They've already interviewed Rex Ryan's on the list. And here was Rex. Rex thinks he's getting this job. Take it away, Rex.
You think you're going to get this job, right? You think you're going to be the next head coach of the Jets?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely, I do. And the reason I think I'm going to get it is because I'm the best guy. And it ain't close. The thing that you have to do, you have to connect with your football team. You have to connect with your fan base. And the way they play, that's the most important thing. Not just the X's and O's and all that. Look, this Ben Johnson, I love him. I absolutely love him. But I'm a better candidate for this job than he would be.
Good for you, Rex.
Love it, man.
Bring the feet back to New York.
But this is what the Ryans do. It's all bluster. It's maximum confidence like that. You could go back to 2012 or 2013 whenever Rob Ryan got fired from the Cowboys. He was like, I'll have another job in 20 seconds. You know, this is just kind of what this is. Ryan's stick.
He's kind of perfect for the Jets, though.
You ask him about any job, he'll give a similar answer. It might be, a decent fit there.
Yeah, I don't know that. It's going to work. I mean, it did work the first go around. Mm-hmm. I don't know anymore, like, if it'll work, but I'm kind of here for the drama.
I mean, look at the players that they had, though, on that defense.
Yeah. Oh, they were loaded. Yeah, Darrell Revis
is prime. It. Yeah.
No doubt.
Great running game. You had a lot of good stuff going on with that Jets team. You're not going to fix that with the way that you play and your attitude.
Well, and there's a lot that needs to be fixed because you've got Woody Johnson, the owner, who had to come out and say, no, my teenage son, Brick, has no role with the team. That should never be something that's a headline for any NFL team. My teenage son, Brick, has no role with the team, and now I've got to deny all the Madden rating stuff.
Yeah, when those kids were 5 or 6 and Woody was over in Europe, like working on a soccer team or some, you know, Johnson & Johnson type of business stuff, and you had like an organization running somewhat, you know, functionally, that was... you know, that was peak Jets, and they made the AFC title game in back-to-back years. Now, with the kids in college, they have their own opinions, and dad's not smart enough to tell them to shut the hell up. It's more dysfunctional than at any point in our lifetimes, Woolchuck.
Yeah. And I wouldn't hire Rex, because Google him. No neck. Nothing to speak of there. the Bengals also fired defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, it's surprising because
he's so good against Kansas City.
He is,
but gosh, he was bad. That defense was bad this year.
No, they were bad. But that Cincinnati usually doesn't get rid of people like that.
No, and he's done good things there, but they had to do something. I mean, they missed the playoffs. It was a historical team that missed the postseason. Yeah. You've got the Triple Crown winner in Ja'Marr Chase. Burrow had an MVP year. You got the sack leader in Hendrickson, and you missed the postseason. If you're not firing the head coach, he had to have somebody be the scapegoat, and I guess it's the defensive coordinator.
It's a shame.
It's a bummer for him.
Thank you, Woolchuck. Thank you. NFL News today every afternoon, 3 o'clock here in the nation. We will have John Machota coming up at 4 o'clock to track the very latest with the Cowboys. Again, if you missed it at the top, the Bears have asked for permission to speak with McCarthy while this afternoon and presumably evening. He's talking with Jerry Jones about what the future of this situation has in store for him. All right, Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. We do have the C-Note coming up next, but we also have to talk some Mavs and how much this latest injury will put the playoffs in jeopardy. That's coming up next, G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Welcome back, Nation. Okay, we got the C-Note here for you, Cowboys news of the evening. But before we get there, I do want to talk some Mavs with you. How much trouble is this team in? Segment's brought to you by... Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. So, you know, the good news is Najee Marshall's suspension is up, and at least he can return tonight. Should give you some playmaking, some scoring. I really like Najee Marshall's game, but the story from just about an hour ago, Mavs star Kyrie Irving bulging disc in his back, expected to miss at least 1 to 2 weeks. Sources telling ESPN there's optimism that treatment over the coming days will provide a return to play target date. But Mavs announced yesterday that he was going to miss tonight's game against the Grizzlies with a lumbar sprain in his back. Did not join the team on the roadie. Did not play in Friday's home loss to the Cavaliers. He was ruled out hours before with an illness. Already without Luka Doncic. So this team's struggling a bit. You know, Grizzlies game tonight will not be easy. Then back home to take on the Lakers tomorrow. They could find themselves, you know, losers of 6 games in a row quite easily, and the schedule does not relent after that. Currently in the 6th spot, but tied with the Clippers, who are 7th. And then you drop down to the T-Wolves, who are struggling. They are currently in the 10 hole, and that's 2.5 games back. And then you have the Kings and Suns right on their heels. Yeah. So like 11th and 12th in the West over the course of the next week to two as Kyrie Irving is out is very much on the table, Brian. I wouldn't be overly concerned with that if they end up 12th or 13th here by the time we get to the end of the month. I would think, okay, you still have February, March, and half of April. They'll be fine. But, I mean, when you're talking about neck issues, when something's gone spinal, this can be very debilitating. Yeah. For months.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly, you know, we tried to map out, there were 17 games we talked about, and
yeah,
we're saying, well, Dallas could probably win 6 of those games, and they might lose 11, depending on the competition and stuff. But 6 of those wins were already, one was against Portland, one was against Sacramento, you know. So yeah, these next few, you know, with, you mentioned with Memphis, you know, you're 7 losses away from being in the 13 hole right yeah. now. And to be honest with you, it seems very probable, you know, with dealing with all the things with Luka, Kyrie, I mean, you don't know about a back.
No,
you don't know how that's going to play out. You're thinking optimistically that, oh, it's going to be fine with treatment and all that. But man, there are some games where Dallas will clearly they won't be favored and they won't be the better team out there, and they could play really hard and still, you know, come out of it with a loss. So I'm not very pumped up for about what's about to happen here the next, you know, next couple of months here.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be really, really tough for them to win basketball games.
Maybe trying to, you know, have a play-in situation and get into the tournament and then match up and, you know, rely on what you know about truths as your basketball team. But, you know, right now the idea of, hey, let's just get healthy and see where things are in April, that doesn't apply. Now it comes down to what adjustments do you make with your playing style?
Right.
You know, obviously Jason Kidd and his staff have a major challenge ahead of them. What style of basketball do we come up with? Because without Kyrie Irving and without Luka Doncic, that's your playmaking.
Yep.
Now, I think... You have to rely on let's pack it in, play defense, and then like simplify it with a drive and kick game like OKC plays. You know, we have guys that can handle the ball well enough that if we give them more simple reads than what Luka and Kyrie are capable of, maybe we can still, you know, have an average offense and try to rely on playing great defense and rebounding the hell out of the ball. But we gotta play blue collar basketball. We gotta be the more physical team. We gotta play better defense, and then, you know, take what you can offensively, you know, and hopefully, like, could Jaden Hardy, could this be an opportunity for him to break through as more of a consistent on-the-ball guy?
I really do appreciate you bringing up Jaden Hardy, but how many times have we brought up Jaden Hardy before?
Well, it's the turnovers, right?
It's just...
like, he can give you an instant offense, but he's also going to turn the ball over six times.
It's like watching Jalen Tolbert play, you know? I mean, it's just like, you know, occasionally you get the... You get the two or three. You get a game like yesterday.
Get some good, but you got to deal with the mistake.
A couple plays happen. You're like, exactly. wow, this guy can really do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just every time you want to rely on somebody, you know, with that type of player, it just backfires on you.
So. I mean, the only other guy you're relying on then is Spencer Dinwiddie, who I just think is at a point in his age with his injury history.
Had a good game the other night, but, you know, he's had
some moments.
He has moments, and that's the problem. They have some depth pieces, but they don't have enough without Luke and out without Kyrie.
Yeah.
They don't have enough.
Right.
They don't have that. We always, you always love my line of difference makers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. When you get in these games, you know, these teams you play, like Oklahoma City and Memphis and Denver, these places, they have difference makers. You with your injury situation with both these guys out, It's you don't have that.
Very tough. So 254 says Kyrie will be okay for the playoffs. They'll give him some great treatment. And I would probably agree with you on that. But, you know, how long is this spinal injury going to take to heal? You know, herniated disc, that can be very, very problematic.
Painful.
And, you know, most athletes never say goodbye to that for good. It's a constant type of, you know, therapy and recovery thing, especially after, you know, you go hard. And I don't know if how many games could he miss before you're like, I don't think the Mavs are going to make the playoffs anymore. You take Luka and Kyrie out for the rest of the season, they're not making the playoffs. We had the report yesterday from a Twitter doctor who watched Luka getting around on that wheelie cart and said, dude's going to be out another 4 to 6 weeks. You know, how big is the, how much of a winning streak you're going to have to go on after the All-Star break just to make the playoffs at this point? I do think that's very much in question.
And I brought it up last week, the amount of energy that they're going to have to exert to be able to try and even find their way into the play-in situation. You know, how's that going to play out in the playoffs? If you're getting an exhausted basketball team that's fighting every night to have to win games.
We heard about that last year because they had to play so great in the final 30 games of the season, and maybe that is part of why, you know, Luka wasn't fresh and ultimately Kyrie ran out of gas as well against Boston. Okay, the Bears have put in a request to interview Mike McCarthy for their head coach opening. A source has confirmed that. This is Nick Harris. Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy are set to meet this afternoon, but we don't have any report of whether they've met or not. McCarthy's contract will expire on on Wednesday, but Dallas will have negotiating rights until January 14th. So if you're Mike and Chicago's calling here, I assume, you know, the Cowboys are going to give you permission based on what Jerry Jones has said. Are you hoping that the Bears give you an offer of more than what the Cowboys are offering, or are you hoping that you're coming back to Dallas? I don't think the Chicago Bears situation or organization is any better structured than what the Cowboys have going on. Many of the same, you know, mom and pop shop type of critiques that happen to the Cowboys happen with the Bears as well. I mean, I think you're getting a little bit closer to home. You know, it's another iconic franchise. You have a rookie quarterback, a lot of talent, and an appetite for spending and competing. It's not like ownership is like the Bengals where they just refuse to pay for anything. I think you could win up there. You know, I would probably stay with the continuity that I have, because after you've installed a program and you have the consistency and the guys know what to expect and they trust you and everything, that I think it's, you know, better to operate from there. But at the same time, if I'm wanted up in Chicago and they're just like, I don't know about you down here, I think that weighs heavily. Like, how important, how much respect do you have for what I bring to the table? And, you know, based on how kind of Jerry's posturing, I feel like, you know, they can take me or leave me. And I kind of want to go somewhere that I'm wanted.
Do you force Jerry's hand, though, and take the interview?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, look, Vrabel, that's worked out for him, right? He took the Jets interview, and that kind of forced Robert Kraft's hand to go ahead and fire Gerard Mayo. And now you're looking to maybe Vrabel does go ahead and land that Patriots job, which he was kind of coveting, it seems like. I mean, if I'm Mike, I'm not waiting around on Jerry. No. Why should you? Like, go ahead and take the interview. And if you don't want me to take it, all right, I'll wait till my contract's up on the 14th. And if you're still not going to give me any offer or an offer that I like, I'll go ahead and take the interview then.
I mean, I could really, really prefer to coach with the Cowboys, but if they're not going to give me an answer and the Bears are offering, I might cost me and my family $20 or $25 million over the course of the contract if no other team wants to hire me. Yeah. I have to go, you know, take the job. The only thing I'd be worried about is once I go there and show a little bit of disloyalty to Jerry, does he just cross me off the list like, now you're out?
Yeah, that's why I asked the question, because I wonder. I have seen the Joneses, they're going to keep you status quo on pay and stuff, you know, but once somebody shows an interest in you, and Will McClay's kind of taken advantage of this a little bit too.
Didn't we see Dan Quinn?
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden it's like, hey, no, I'm not going to take the interview. I'm not going to, you know, I'm pulling my name out and all that. Then you get a little bit better contract, you get a bit more years. So yeah, this could be by the Bears might have done Mike McCarthy a favor by requesting an interview. It might get the Joneses off their ass. And then they have to make a decision a lot faster than they're most comfortable doing, because they've proven when people come after their people, when they want them, they will make sure that they stay here.
Yeah.
That's what they'll do. They did it with Sean Payton. Sean Payton had a chance to go way back in the day. I helped broker a deal with the Raiders a long time ago. You know, I mean, they were back channeling that thing, and Sean Payton was like, you know, he was interested in the Raider job. And then he went back to, I remember talking to Mike Lombardi about this, and he went back and he said, hey, where's Sean? I said, he went to with Jerry, met over with Jerry. He goes, oh, we're done. We're not getting him. They knew that, you know, and Jerry went in there, and it really upset Parcells, because Sean Payton came back and got more money, and it upset all the other coaches on the staff. Like, okay, wait, how does he get more money and we're all kind of, you know, paying, you know, playing for what we're paying for, getting, you know. So anyway, it was sometimes, you know, Jerry will get him off his ass a little bit and get him going.
So Mike taking the offer, you think is less likely to offend Jerry and more likely to motivate him to put some urgency on it?
I think it's the motivational thing here for Jerry. If he really wants Mike McCarthy, then he'll get off his ass. If he doesn't, then he'll allow Mike McCarthy to go get an interview. And that's all Mike McCarthy needs to know.
Yeah,
that he doesn't care enough about me, and he'll let me go. Yeah. If he lets me go interview, that means I'm probably not going to get this job.
Well, we're probably heading now for Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's take a look at this game. It's one final time. It's against the Commanders. Got some film takeaways. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We have John Mashoda coming up at 4 o'clock from The Athletic, longtime Cowboys writer. He'll break it down for you. Right now, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this one today. This will be the final one, Dawson, for the season. Final breakdown.
Good run, man.
Yeah, it was.
This might have been your finest season yet.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
Not only were the breakdowns of the teams and where they were strong and where the Cowboys could match up with them, but the referee calls that you were making well. Unbelievable.
I appreciate that. I just tried to keep everybody updated the best I could. Stuff was studied when I was involved with the pro personnel department with the Cowboys. It's funny. I'll throw something out there real quick about this you know, we got the draft show coming up. Man, I'm so really happy about it with, and it was Zach is going to be on again with us this year at the draft show. I take such pride in that. It's one of my favorite things that I do. I love the work here. I you know, love the star and the stuff, the work I've been doing with Votch and stuff. But I do love with Zach and I have the opportunity with the draft show with DallasCowboys.com. And that's going to be on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So make sure you're
Tomorrow.
Yeah, show tomorrow. But make sure too, like in I know Dawson, you're really good about this too. When you get ready to start talking the draft, we'll talk the draft. We'll have this thing covered.
I think we're doing that coming up in an hour.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I like what we're doing there, but the
I know you want my thoughts on the individual offensive linemen's punch drive climb. Running game stuff.
I think that you're you know, it's funny when I used to work with Kavanaugh, he was my wide receivers guy. I think you could be my offensive line guy.
Yeah, but so. Only the running game part. That's all I can do.
The running part. Okay, well good. Well
and I'll give you the back pedal on the corners as well.
Okay. Well, you're gonna have your hands full with these offensive linemen this year. So I just want to let you know that just right off the jump. So but we can use your expertise. But yeah, make sure that we got you covered for the entire
footwork specialist.
That's what we need.
Yeah, we all need that footwork specialist. But yeah, we will have you covered not only on this station but on all the platforms that we're on. So we're really excited.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, the Cowboys thing starts tomorrow, right? With you and everybody.
Yeah, exactly. There's
.com.
It's amazing the work that we get to do, the partnership that we have with the Dallas Cowboys.
And heck of a crew.
It is, and you know, and it's funny we got. But seven guys, so we're all going to have to rotate through.
Wow.
I mean, it's got
some
lot.
Days off, actually.
Well, actually, yeah, no days off.
Well, Brian's the godfather, so Brian's going to stay on every show, but the rest of us will rotate.
Yeah, we'll figure it all out.
This man, a new cat.
It will be fun. Thank you very much. All right, the final one on the game from yesterday. I want to go through the Parsons sacks, if I could start with that one right off the jump. By the way, I said it earlier, Mike Zimmer, I thought, had a really good plan against Daniels. The two times that they met this year, you know, if I'm a team that's playing the Commanders, kind of get some ideas watching
good scheme.
That. Got some good scheme work. And Daniels, on his first sack, Daniels actually has a couple of options here that he's got. He could throw. They run the first play of the game. They run a hitch with McLaurin, and they run a hitch with Brown on the outside, and he takes neither. And I don't know. He was really looking at. I mean, just take the snap, throw the ball, and you know, get your 6-7 yards and move on. But there was a little bit of hesitation there. And what happens is that Osa was a big reason why that Parsons was able to get home, because he wins off the snap and he's first to Daniels, but he can't bring him down in the pocket. And this is where Parson wins against Coleman, the left tackle. We talked about this last week. There's going to be a couple different spots. Coleman, the rookie left tackle, was going to be a spot where you could maybe make some hay. And the Cowboys did that with Parsons. He's able to circle around him. You know, Coleman gets him off balance. Parsons does a great job of just kind of circling around him. And then he's able to capture Daniels as he's trying to go forward before he gets the ball off. Again, I don't know why Daniels didn't throw the hitch, but the pressure got to him. Osa was first there, and then with Parsons to be able to win against Coleman, circling around was the reason why he got the sack. The second sack he had, Parsons is going to line up against Dieter, their center. And he's a backup center. There's no Biotis in this game. And this guy had some problems in the Atlanta game when he went in. And so I kind of figured, okay, here we go. They're going to hunt matchups. Well, they hunted a matchup here. And the center's in trouble right off the bat with Parsons. He tries to extend the left hand. His snapping hand is the right one, so he's trying to extend his left hand to stop Parsons. Parsons doesn't even let him touch him. So there's just no chance there. Parsons is like he's got his body turned, and now it's either the center is trying to reach. He's off balance. Parsons is able to get by him, and then – next thing you know, he's on to Daniels, the quarterback there. Now, what's really good about this rush is Robinson, the running back, has to pick up Kendricks on the blitz. So give Kendricks that a boy on the blitz, our buddy Kendricks. He's going to blitz, and Robinson has to step across to go pick him up. So that allows Micah the free run on Daniels, and he's able to get there. So The Cowboys were really, really lucky that Parson gets the sack here because, once again, Terry McLaurin is running a shallow cross and is wide open. They run a mesh concept, and they lose McLaurin going across the field, and it is going to be a big play if Parsons doesn't get home. That ball gets out to McLaurin on the route. It's going up the sidelines, and Dallas is really, really in trouble. So great job by Zimmer on the blitz. Great job by Kendricks helping Parsons. They found the matchup they wanted, and then they got the second sack. Okay, let me talk about the Wilson sack here that they had. This is another good one. This is Carl Lawson, actually. Great hustle by Carl Lawson from the backside. And this forces Daniels, the quarterback, out of the pocket to his right. And Lewis is coming on a blitz as well. And that forces Daniels on the move. So you got Lawson you got Wilson, Lawson, and then also Jordan Lewis all running to go get after the quarterback here. This is excellent coverage. They're playing zone coverage, and this is excellent coverage downfield with everybody picked up. Wilson doesn't get fooled by Daniels, you know, trying to kind of hesitate and maybe shake him, and then he forces him out of bounds. So really nice job of him getting him. But the coverage was outstanding. The effort by Lawson to force, and then also Lewis coming as a blitz as well. That's what got the movement. That's what got Wilson over there to be able to make the sack. So great job by him. Okay, this is something I want to talk about too. The fourth down run from Marcus Mariota. Ugh. And then I'll get into some offensive stuff. Zimmer, once again, he dials up the right call here. I mean, he plays the defense the right way here. He gives the right call. The execution of the defense was not where it needed to be. And this is on the rookie here.
Oh, Neyland?
No. This is on Leafau.
Oh, man.
Because what Zimmer does is he sends Parsons on an inside slant. Mm-hmm. So Parsons is free, and Parsons gets to the mesh point where Eckler and Mariota are like connected there. And I mean, he is just a tick away from getting that.
Blowing it up.
Blowing it completely up. Mariota pulls the ball. But the design of the play is when Parsons comes down, Leafau has to fill that,
right,
that hole, that gap that he left. Because he's not, you know, they usually read that off the edge. Mm-hmm. Well, with him going down inside, now Leafau has to replace.
And he didn't.
He went too wide.
And that opened up just enough
because if he plays it straight downhill, he's going to meet Marcus Mariota right there at the line of scrimmage. But his path takes him a little wide. And then that's how Mariota was able to squeeze through and get up the field.
Micah was not happy about that.
No, he was not.
Well, it explains why Malik Hooker also was thinking, like, we got it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and he's got the arm up, which is a terrible look for everyone else.
It is crazy to watch from the end zone copy because you're right. He holds the fist up like, yes, we got it. And he's like, oh, my God, I got to go make a tackle. But, yeah, Leafau was just – if Leafau plays that thing straight downhill where he's supposed to be, where he's supposed to replace Micah, ball game. It's gonna be a no gain, and because that happened to the Cowboys on third and one, they ran a similar the play right before the fourth down where they took the delay of game penalty. The Cowboys did the same thing. They tried to go read option going to the left. Quinn calls a similar where they filled, but Frankie Louvu filled. But what happened on the play was though Awesome Richards got confused which guy he was supposed to get. His responsibility is usually the end, but when the end crashed, he was looking like, whoa, wait a minute, who am I supposed to get? So end crashed, took care of the ball carrier, mm-hmm, or took care of the running back, and then that left, instead of being able to get up the field, Trey Lance to go and get the first down on third and one, he got stopped. Because they didn't get the block on the outside from Awesome Richards. So if Richards gets that block, maybe we're talking about a Cowboy victory. Maybe it's a first down, but instead it's a fourth down, and they get a fourth down play, and then they don't run a play.
I don't know if you could tell by the film or just being there, but everybody cheering was quite loud when Washington won it there with 2 seconds.
Oh, no.
Was that Cowboys fans cheering as well?
There was a lot of
burgundy.
A lot of burgundy there. There was a lot of defense. Mm-hmm. You know, you heard that. So if I could, just let me throw one offensive play on here, if I could. This is the deep shot. Well, I want to break down the Lance play right before half, if I could, real quick. The one that ended up being incomplete. This is honestly a heck of a job by Lance to escape, because he's going to get sacked. I mean, he does a great job of avoiding the sack. The play was poorly blocked from the snap, with Lance, you know, moving to his left, really can't get himself squared up to make the throw. Now, previous in this drive, he throws a ball too far to the corner to Cooks, who was wide open. Cooks was running along the back line to the corner on a route, and that's the one where Lance threw it way too far past the pylon, and it's out of bounds. So the next two plays, ball was trying to be with a little bit more touch to it, and I think that affected Lance in the way he was throwing the ball. But he tries to flip the ball instead of putting something on it, and if he gets it there, it's an easy touchdown. The problem is Dowdle couldn't adjust to it. Dowdle couldn't get his hands underneath the ball. But to be honest with you, it was a great job by Lance just to escape. That's Cooper Rush. To give him an opportunity on the play. Nice. You know, it's unfortunate that they didn't get that done. So
got to give the MVP to whoever decided to not play Cooper Rush yesterday. That would have been my heart was racing there at the end, thinking about picking 16th or
you
something.
You know, it's funny that there's people that are kind of torn on that. But to be honest with you, like I said earlier on the thing, Zach and I are going to really dive into this draft. And there's going to be a difference between picking 12th and picking 16th.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a difference there.
I mean, I'm having so much fun just looking at mock drafts now and all the different players that could become available at all kinds of different positions. It's going to be one of the most exciting draft seasons we've had maybe since 2016.
Yep.
Brian, thank you so much.
Krusty's
Corner every afternoon, 3:40. John Mishota of The Athletic joins us as we track this Cowboys story. The Bears reaching out, asking for permission to speak with Mike McCarthy. We'll get the latest on that more next on The Fan.